She wonderful. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, good. That's fine. I had no idea when I left here last Sunday that I was going to be doing this. So, here we go. God is good. God is faithful. God is wonderful. The story of a baby who at the time he was born in our story doesn't have a name. But we came to know of him as Moses in the bulrushes. That's how I learnt about him when I was a little girl. A very long time ago, Martin, wherever you are. Much longer ago than you. Anyway, we'll look at the history of how this came about, shall we, first. Why were the Hebrews in Egypt? Why weren't they in their homeland? Many years earlier than our story, there'd been a famine in the land, a very bad famine. And there was a family, a father, a mother, and 12 sons. And the youngest son, Joseph, I think that's right, I think it's the youngest son. Anyway, Joseph was sold to some traders and taken to Egypt, where he found favour with Pharaoh. And he was able, as the story unfolded, I think we all know the story, as the story unfolded, he was able to provide for his family. And in the end, the whole family ended up in Egypt, where they settled and they became numerous. So numerous, in fact, that they were the new king in Egypt. I don't know whether he was elected or the old king died, but there was a new king in Egypt. And he suddenly realised that these people, there was an enormous amount of them. And he got scared. He thought if ever there was a war, these people would join forces with whoever was their enemy and they would fight against the Egyptians and would defeat them. So he decided to take steps to ensure that this couldn't happen. And one of the steps he took was that he decreed that all baby boys born to the Hebrews should be killed at birth. He gave instructions to the midwives, excuse me, who were Hebrews, that this should happen. But the midwives were, the Bible tells us, God-fearing women, and they didn't carry out the instruction. And when asked why they hadn't, they had to justify why they hadn't done as they were told to do, they told the authorities that the Hebrew women were much better at giving birth than the Egyptian ladies were, and they'd actually managed to deliver their babies before they got there, so it was too late. The death of these children, as I understand it, was to be done by throwing them into the River Nile. Can you imagine giving birth to a baby, all the excitement, all the joy that it brings, and then if it's a boy, it gets taken away and thrown in the River Nile? I can't think of anything worse, frankly. Anyway, against this background, a baby boy was born. He was a beautiful, happy, healthy baby boy. And his mum, like all mums, wanted to protect him. So she hid him for 3 months How'd you hide a baby for 3 months, Ruth? I mean, you've got one. How'd you hide Phoebe? You know, how do you do that? I read one commentary that suggested maybe she dressed him in pink all the time and pretended he was a girl. I have no idea how she hid him, but she did. And she had to keep the fact that she'd had a baby boy a secret, or she would have been in serious trouble. And as I said earlier, at this point, this baby did not have, we're not told he'd got a name. And there came a point when this baby couldn't be hidden any longer. Perhaps he was too big for the cupboard she'd put him in. I have no idea. Anyway, she decided, this mum, to put him in a papyrus basket that she'd made waterproof, and she would hide him in the reeds at the side of the Nile. Now, my understanding is that Pharaoh's daughter and indeed the Egyptians went down to the river, not just to bathe or to swim, if you will, but it was a place where they went to worship, I understand. So they knew, so it was a dangerous place to put a baby boy in a basket in the reeds. But that's where Mum put this baby boy. And she sent her daughter to watch at a distance to see what happened next. What a wise mum. And how much strength of mind did it take for her to do that? You put Joseph in a basket in the river? Could any of us put our baby boys in a basket in a river? I certainly couldn't. And then after a time, and again, we don't know how long he was in this river, Pharaoh's daughter came with her attendants, and Pharaoh's daughter got in the river. And the attendants, as I understand, walked along the bank. And they saw this basket, and Pharaoh's daughter picked it up, or looked inside it, shall we say. And inside she found a baby crying. And her heart melted. Which woman would see a baby in a basket and wouldn't want to comfort it? His sister saw this happen. And again, found the strength to go and say to Pharaoh's daughter, "Would you like me to find a Hebrew lady to come and nurse this child for you, to care for him?" And she said, "Yes, go and find somebody." An opportunity for mum to care for her baby again. So the baby's own mother came. Excuse me. And cared for this baby. And the way I read the scripture is that she possibly took him home with her and cared for him. She protected him. She nourished him. And she taught him things, obviously. But then, as he grew bigger and less dependent on her, she took him back to Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him. Now, I don't know how you'd feel about this, but I just want to tell you a very short personal story that makes me wonder, what makes me see just how much strength this baby boy's mum had. Many years ago, when Robert started school, so it is a long time ago, he was 44 last week, so it's a long time since he was five, but I remember this very clearly. When he started school, he made friends with another little boy called Peter Elsegood, and they were best mates. They did everything together. And Peter's mum was a single mum, sadly, and she had to go to work. So every day, Peter and Robert met at school, and every day Peter came home with Robert, and some days he had his tea with us and waited till his mum could come and pick him up. And this went on for quite a long time, about 18 months, I think, altogether. Every day, I brought three little boys home, because I'd already got Mark as well, because Mark's older than Rob. I brought three little boys home for tea and to play and to watch the telly and whatever else we did. And then after 18 months, Peter's mum got another job, a different job, which meant that she could pick him up from school. So she said, "Thank you for all you've done, but Peter will come home with me in future," which is fair enough, she was his mum. But you know, it broke my heart, because for 18 months, I'd had three little boys to look after. And I was really sad for a very long time. So how did this baby boy's mum feel, handing over this baby that she'd protected, she'd kept safe, instead of having him thrown in the river? She'd put him in a basket, he'd been drawn out by Pharaoh's daughter, she'd raised him to the point where he could be looked after somewhere else, and suddenly he's taken to Pharaoh's house where he lived, where he was finally brought up as an Egyptian, living off the best the country could offer, being educated and dressed and becoming part of what would have been the royal family. How on earth did that woman feel? She'd got a huge inner strength, I think. What a mixture of emotions she must have had. From the joy of the baby's birth, and scared because because he was a boy. Then she had to make plans for his safety. She'd be happy that he'd been rescued and he'd been taken care of. And she believed, I think, that God would take care of this baby. So where was God in all of this? And where is God in all of this? I believe that God created each one of us. And as David said last week, God wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to help us. He wants to protect us. He wants to nourish us and nurture us and lead us to where he wants us to be. God sent Jesus to show us how to live and to cleanse us from all the things that we do wrong. He wants to protect us from what's coming if we don't trust in him. And just as God had a purpose for Moses right from the start, and he led particularly his mum to do what she could to protect him, God has a purpose for each one of us. Mothers and fathers have huge responsibilities to protect and nourish and nurture our children. And it doesn't stop just because your children have grown up and left home. It doesn't stop. You never stop being the parent. That responsibility, that want, that need to protect your children, to nourish and encourage them and to nurture them, never stops. It's a God-given gift. Children are not yours, but ours, not ours by right. They are a gift from God. Our lives are a gift from God. God's desire is that we should walk with him. He wants to protect us and lead us to the places where he wants us to be. And as God's people, corporately together, it's our responsibility to help and encourage mothers, fathers, and each other in the way that God wants us to go. So as Rachel says, we give thanks today for our mums and all they do for us, and we praise God for them, and we care for them as they've cared for us. We take our lead from them, and we praise God, the Saviour and Creator of us all, for his love and protection on us, wherever we are and whatever we're doing. May we do all for God's glory.